Good morning, everybody, and welcome to FPC Radio Live. Cut the music. You know, Mike, I'm just going to get right into it because we screwed up big time yesterday, my friend. Real big.
We did.
Real big. I mean, like, to the point where, like, seriously considered turning in our fan card type of screw up. We were excited yesterday talking about anniversaries and this day in history and Lost and Kurt Angle and all this nonsense. Well, foolish us, because, and I know this, and clearly you knew this, but apparently the half of our brain that we shared didn't think about it yesterday, because that same day that Kurt Angle won the WWF title at Unforgiven, Something else happened.
Roll laterally to the 31-yard line. And 2:16 remains.
Well, keep in mind, you know, the Jets coverage teams don't have a whole lot of confidence. They gave up that 78-yarder to Terrence Wilkins in the opener in that game against Indianapolis. So not giving the Patriots a chance to mount any kind of a return, kind of a plus. And Drew Bledsoe is on the sideline.
Tom Brady, the second-year quarterback from the University of Michigan, who threw only three passes in his rookie year last year, one for three, a six-yard completion, and this is his first duty of 2001. So apparently...
Mike, how did we forget this? How did we overlook it? I don't understand. I have no explanation other than we dropped the ball big time, my friend. This was...
This was a fumble on the 1 yard line that cost us the game. No question.
More like
about
an interception.
There was no need for this at all. Ian and I are severely considering turning in our fan cards on this one for just completely blanking out on that yesterday. The most red letter day in the history of the franchise, and we didn't
in the history of my life. Let's be honest, like this isn't just
the
franchise.
I think a case can be made.
I don't have any kids, and even if I did, I would still argue that might be the happiest, most important day of my life. So
that is definitely possible.
Yeah. So we obviously screwed that up. That was obviously the anniversary of before Kurt Angle won his WWF title against Stone Cold at Unforgiven, Tom Brady made his first start of the 2001 season, and it was the last time that Tom Brady wasn't the starting quarterback before this season. So, all injuries and suspensions aside, you know, he was still technically assumed to be the starting quarterback. So, Mike, we definitely screwed that one up big time. Often is the case, these things happen where we get online or on Twitter right after the show, and of course it pops up. So it's like a big just punch to the gut immediately once we get off the air. And I sent you a message, I think, shortly after, and it was just like, we screwed up, my friend. We definitely, like I said, highly consider turning in the fan card because of that one.
Yeah, and I eat the humble pie just along with you, my friend. I don't know how we missed it. I don't know why we missed it. But whatever it was, we apologize to our adoring fans, because I know a lot of the listeners that we have are indeed Patriots fans. The other, you know, listen to us to hate on us about Tom Brady, mm-hmm. and it would have provided them more fodder to hate us even more. So regardless of your listening intent, that's the reason for our apology, and we'll do better next time. We will do better next time.
I can't guarantee that.
Well, we're not going to forget September 23rd again next year. Mark it down, folks. We will remember that date.
Yeah.
An amazing day for the New England Patriots. I mean, a tough day for Drew. I think a lot of times that gets overlooked. Bledsoe gave 110% every day out here in New England. And to see him go down to have his Patriots career essentially ending on that note was very difficult. I was glad to see that he got the action in the AFC Championship game that year, come in, throw the touchdown pass to David Patton, go out on a high note, because he did deserve it for the service and the stellar play that he provided here for a number of years. But the keys to the kingdom were given to Tom Brady in 19 years. This team personified excellence, and he was a huge, huge part of that, and cool. no one can deny that.
And to his credit, too, I mean, he handled the entire situation as well as anyone could, considering, again, he was a $100 million quarterback, former first overall pick, who, you know, if, again, you go back then, losing your job to injury was unheard of. Unheard of. I mean, we're kind of in a not so similar situation now because it's just a topic of conversation, but and it's not exactly the same. There's so many differences to it, but the idea that Tyrod Taylor wouldn't get his job back when he returned, most people are like, why would he? You know, the rookie played great. Well, there was a time in a place where it didn't really matter. It was really all about, okay, did you lose your job to injury? Well, it doesn't matter what the other guy does. You know, you're coming back and you're going to have your job back. So when Drew didn't get his job back, that was kind of, I don't want to say uncharted territory, because I'm not going to say it never happened before, but it certainly wasn't a common thing. And I feel like that might be lost on certainly some younger fans and those who are more used to what the current state of the NFL.
Yeah, without any question, it really was. I mean, there was a almost like a handshake type agreement with starting mm-hmm. quarterbacks that if you go down, you're injured, you're going to come back and you're going to play. And that's just the way it's going to be. No matter how dynamic your replacement is, you're going to get a chance to, quote unquote, compete for your job. But wink, wink, nod, nod, that job is yours. Mm-hmm. You know that as well as anybody. That's kind of what the assumption was with Drew Bledsoe. And I mean, I don't know the intricacies of the details, only what I've read, only what I've heard throughout the years. I wasn't involved in obviously covering that, but there was a lot that was going on behind the scenes where Drew believed very strongly that he was going to, you know, get a chance to not only compete for his job, but also that the job would be his. And Bill Belichick saw something in Tom Brady. And if you believe what you've read a lot about what Tom has said, what he said about Tom beforehand and things of that nature, all of a sudden it became a almost like a foregone conclusion that Bill Belichick was going to go with Tom mm-hmm. Brady.
Well, and this was this in my opinion, and I think a lot of other people share the same opinion, that, you know, this injury only sped up the process. This was inevitable. You know, Brady was going to take over for Bledsoe. I don't think Belichick was ever enamored with him. And, you know, at the time, too, we didn't really understand completely who Bill Belichick is. Now we look at him like, of course. Well, Bill doesn't care, like, who you are or what you've done, you know? It's kind of like Man Bear Pig. He doesn't care who you are or what you've done. No, he kind of looked like Man Bear Pig the other day, but hey, that's besides the point. But yeah, so at the time, you know, you assume, like a lot of people did, and there was a lot of people that were pro Drew up until and through the Super Bowl. There wasn't this like consensus to go to Tom. I mean, this was not a universally beloved decision. Now, again, this is long before the Patriots were, you know, perennial Super Bowl contenders. I mean, they were a good team. Let's not pretend like they're 1-15 like a lot of people want to do. They've only done that once in their entire franchise history. In fact, they've won only fewer than four games, I think, five or six times since 1976. So this whole idea that they were a bottom feeder before, you know, let's get out of 1990, 1991. There's more history there. But no, look, I mean, I you know, going back then, the Patriots didn't have this cachet. You know, they didn't have this, well, Bill Belichick can make the right decision and whatever, you know. Now he gets criticized for making good decisions, which is kind of weird, but hey, whatever. So yeah, I mean, there was no cachet. It was a big risk. It was a big split of the fan base. You know, eventually those people that doubted Brady sort of, I mean, how could you not be won over after a certain period of time? But there was some debate there, and certainly people that were wanting him to start the Super Bowl, because again, you know, the injury to Brady in the AFC Championship game kind of reinvigorated that discussion that had kind of started to wane a little bit. But obviously, you know, Brady goes in, wins a Super Bowl. You'd be hard pressed to find someone who would truly die on a hill for Drew Bledsoe after that. It might take him a little longer to come around, but It was getting tougher and tougher. So, yeah, we dropped the ball.
We did. One thing that I did want to come back on with that, and, you know, I know we're spending time on this, but we didn't spend time on it yesterday. And this is a big event for the team that Ian and I not only cover and, you know, idolized growing up, but the team that's been a big part of the reason why we're football fans. And look, the one thing that always surprised me was the camaraderie and the friendship that remained with Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady throughout this process. I know a few, you know, players that that you know have played both alongside both of these guys that will tell you that all the pleasantries that are exchanged between Tom Brady and Drew Bledsoe in public are the same in private. They never lost the respect for one another. They never lost the friendship with one another. I'm sure there were there was tension. I mean, there's got to be anytime
I think Drew's even said so on his on his own behalf. You know, and again, he's been very upfront and honest about the whole situation. You know, he said he was obviously disappointed and he's sure that he was upset and angry at times, but you know, it's how he handled himself despite that.
Without question.
So
without question. And you know, and that's something that I think is a testament to two athletes that could very easily have fallen into a trap, and not so much even Drew, because I thought he handled himself with more class than anybody could have asked him to handle himself with. I'll always have a ton of respect for Drew Bledsoe for the way he handled that situation. But Tom Brady as well. Tom could have very easily gotten the attitude like, I'm the king now. I'm the captain now. You know, and this is my team. And yeah, you know what?
I'm above the law. To, you
know... Yeah, exactly.
I'm bigger.
That's exactly the type of attitude he could have had. He always maintained that reverence for Drew Bledsoe, and I think that was a very good sign of the respect between those two guys. So, you know, all in all, it led to a 20-year period, almost a 20-year period of excellence in New England. And Bill Belichick obviously made the right decision. Unlike that shirt that he wore yesterday, you know, that
it's called a fashion statement. And you know what, if those were a pair of jeans, you could buy them for $70 at the mall somewhere in one of those high-end stores.
It's going to become a fashion statement in New England. You're going to see a lot of those shirts now.
Yeah.
I guarantee you somebody tries to market those, the holy hoodie, maybe they might call it, I don't know, but it's going to be that could be a very popular Halloween costume.
If I were a cartoon right now, a little light bulb would have appeared right above my head, and it would have been ding. So it's a great idea. I like that. might have to put the creative juices to work a little bit later. So obviously I don't think I mentioned it yesterday, but we are gonna cut the show a little short today, about 15 minutes. Don't worry, don't fret. I got some previous engagements or commitments that I have to attend to, so I gotta leave here right as the show ends. But we're going to tackle Thursday Night Football real quick and kind of look ahead to what we have here, and that's the Miami Dolphins versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, led by Mr. Mustache Gardner Minshew, and there's a little bit of a, you know, back and forth between the two quarterbacks, and not about their play, but about their facial hair choices. And obviously we know Ryan Fitzpatrick has gone with the, you know, the UConn Cornelius look, a la Ben Roethlisberger, and Gardner Minshew goes with the 70s style porn stash. So, hey, what do you choose? What do you go with if you could grow a beard? Because clearly it looks like you're like me and struggle greatly in doing so. Mustache or beard, my friend?
Oh, no, I could be Ryan Fitzpatrick by the end of the week, folks.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, the Italian blood in me will definitely grow facial hair at the drop of a hat.
I look at the same photo every single day for the last, like, I don't know how long. Actually, I'm pretty sure the same image is ingrained in my subconscious.
That's after a very close shave. You know,
Of course. Okay,
there
you
go. I mean, I was looking. The coif was looking good that day. You know, that's a great. You know, that's one of the very few times on camera that I've actually looked halfway decent, and I still have a pissed off look on my face.
Yeah,
but in any case,
annoyed.
You take what you can get. You take what you can get, buddy. You can't. You know, beggars can't be choosers. If there's a picture that doesn't induce vomiting, I'm all for it. But no, all kidding aside, I definitely could do the Ryan Fitzpatrick beard pretty closely.
Well, then do it.
My dad had a mustache for a number of years. I thought about growing one time. There was a period where I did have that like mustache goatee combination that looked pretty hideous. I don't know. I think I'm going to have to go with the Fitzpatrick beard on this one. Just let it all hang out. I'm going full Bill Belichick. I want that beard. I want Belichick shirt. I want that men's apartment that's been rattling around Twitter the last couple of days where, you know, the guy's got the folding chair and the TV on the floor and the great view. That's exactly, that is the existence I want to live, folks.
That to me is incredible. And I saw that yesterday morning and I quote tweeted it. I used the True Detective meme, the, you know, time is a flat circle. Cause we see that same tweet. Like, okay, here's how Twitter works. Every 6 months or so, the same handful of like tweets in various different fashions appear. That tweet's one of them. There's a couple others I'm blanking on it because all my mind's going to is that Saturday tweet that I have no idea. I don't get the reference at all. Do you know what I'm talking about? The computer cartoon image guy who just drives to work on a Saturday. It's all the guy tweets. I don't know. It's really weird. I see it every Saturday, and I have no idea what the hell it means. No clue. No clue.
No, I don't either. I share your curiosity. I have no idea what that's about.
Yeah,
so if you do, folks, please let us know. We're curious. We want to know these things.
Yes, I want to.
We've been frozen for 30 years. Yes. We're like a freaking bone.
Nice. There you go. No, that's what I feel like though. I feel out of the loop because I don't know what's going on. But yeah, I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh yeah, no. For me, I guess got to go with the big burly beard there because it signifies to me a long playoff run. You know what I mean? But Gardner Minshew is certainly slinging it around. And hey, if anyone ever took Bud Light up on their offer to draft him early, they're probably doing pretty well right now because he's had a couple pretty good games under his belt. 512 yards, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and 115.7 passer rating through 2 games. So I don't think it will last. I don't know. Maybe Gardner is that next guy like Tom Brady. You never know. You never know.
You know, I mean, Gardner has been consistently used as a punchline. He's been consistently used as a flash in the pan. A lot of people have talked about that. I think he got a good amount of notoriety for his play last year. Very well deserved, by the way. But this kid is a much better quarterback than he gets credit for in a lot of ways. I think a lot of times just the joke surrounding Gardner Minshew, and I don't say that derisively, folks, but the joke surrounding him, I think, becomes more of the story than what he's actually able to do on the field. This kid can lead an offense, and I think you're going to see that this year, really rejuvenating the fan base in Jacksonville and letting people see that maybe this team is not going to be as terrible as originally thought. They've got some young talent. Laviska Shenault, I think, is going to develop into a great receiver in this league. You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'll be very honest with you. I like the Dolphins in this game tonight over the Jaguars. I think the Dolphins are due. But at the same time, I think the Jags have the upper hand when it comes to playing as a cohesive unit. So we'll see. This is going to be a pretty good game tonight. I'm looking forward to it. Battle of the Floridians down there. This should be a big game for you, buddy. You know,
I don't really care.
I'm trying. I appreciate it.
I gotta fake a lot of energy a lot of the times. A lot of the energy comes from caffeine. I'm not gonna lie, but I'm not gonna waste.
That's where all my energy.
Yeah, I'm not gonna waste my fake energy on Jacksonville and Miami. Look, we talked about it a little bit the other day. I don't remember. Don't take my word on what day is what. I think Miami is the third best team in this division. I think the Jets are firmly set in that fourth spot. And I think, you know, 1 and 2 is going to shake out over the season between Buffalo and New England. So Miami, I think, is in a... They're in a place right now where I think it's more likely that they play spoiler and they can beat some good teams. I need to see them now take that next step. All this, I don't want to use the honeymoon phase is over, but I think there was a lot of positives coming out of what was really on paper bad season for the Dolphins last year. You can't repeat that and expect to get the same sort of positive energy. You have to take a step further. So I think the Dolphins are in kind of a, I almost used the word, almost used it and would have fumbled it and would have not been able to pronounce it. They're in a very unique situation. See, I caught myself this time.
Very well done.
Yeah, I'm on top of things. So I don't know what to make of this team. I really don't. You know, I think that they're going to take the next step. I really do. But part of me feels like you can't do that until you go to the next guy. I mean, if you have Ryan Fitzpatrick, you kind of know what you are. You know what I mean? There's no, you know, I'm not saying this is all on Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's not what I'm saying. I feel like this Dolphins team can't take the next step without moving to their next franchise quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like keeping Ryan Fitzpatrick in there just to help you win a few extra games doesn't really do you any good. Because again, we know what Ryan Fitzpatrick is, and he's not the answer. He's not the long-term answer. Yeah. So does that make sense?
No, and I think even Ryan, that makes perfect sense. And I think even Ryan would be the first to admit that. He said so in the off season. Look, I know I'm a placeholder. I mean, you don't say that in a press conference when you meet with the media.
Well, he's a smart guy. He went to Harvard.
Where your place in this organization is. He went to Harvard. Absolutely. You know, very Fitz magic, you know, it's all part of the package, but I think in a lot of ways what Brian Flores is doing in Miami is giving the opportunity to hand the keys to the kingdom to Tua Tagovailoa when this team is capable of taking that next step. Brian knows his team better than anyone else. I think he probably looks at this squad and says, well, maybe we haven't taken the step that a lot of people thought we'd take early on, or that we will take, moving forward. They've also had a couple of, you know, tough tasks. Let's face it. They had to face the New England Patriots in week one, Buffalo Bills in week two. Two very good divisional opponents that know their tendencies very well. Miami took it to Buffalo and really put 28 points up on that defense, which is impressive considering what they were not able to do against the Patriots just the week before. So when you look at what this team is capable of doing and moving forward, it wouldn't surprise me to see them take the game tonight against Jacksonville, maybe string together some positive performances, and then at that point you look at Tua Tagovailoa and say, okay, now this team is starting to do what we need it to do. It's yours. Take the ball, run with it. Let's see what you've got. The other side of the coin is if they're starting to play very well and they're clicking, do you remove the hot hand of Ryan Fitzpatrick? Well, if in fact it is a hot hand, and go with the new guys. So there's a lot of question marks there, but I agree with you. I think at some point this season we're going to see Tua.
Hey, here's the thing, though. We know we're going to get hot Ryan Fitzpatrick. But you know what else? We're also going to get Fitz tragic at some point as well. I mean, it's not a knock on Fitzpatrick. It's just who he is. It's why he's a journeyman quarterback who has had some success in this league. But the reason why his success hasn't kind of like the Dolphins gone to the next level is that he's not capable enough of doing that. He's that guy who's a pretty good veteran quarterback in this league. And if you need someone to win you a few games to get on a really hot streak, Ryan Fitzpatrick is the guy. I mean, every single year we go through this where it's like, you know, he gets off, he's going to have a stretch where he plays phenomenally. He may come in and maybe upset the Patriots or beat the Buffalo Bills, and it's Fitz magic all over again and all that stuff. And then again, eventually it's just going to taper off. I mean, it's not going to be a disaster every time, but he's going to come back to the normal, to what he is. And it's just a pretty good quarterback, but, so yeah, I'm not advocating for Tua to be in there like next week. I'm just saying that I think for this team to take the next step, they need to put Tua in as opposed to waiting until they're capable of taking that next step before they put Tua in. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think Tua is the key to taking that next step, because I don't think that they're going to make much progress with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then that means, in my opinion, that doesn't mean winning more games. That means, you know, again, you could win fewer games and have a more positive outlook if you get you know what I'm saying? Like maybe there's just too much caffeine and my mind's racing right now. So maybe I should just stop.
No, I don't think so. No, I think you're just right on the money. I think, yeah, I mean,
you're limited.
Rolling a little bit.
Yeah, I think
a little bit. You're on one of those John Blutarski, you know, the Germans burn Pearl Harbor, yeah, and the whole thing. You know,
yeah, just
you're
let
ready
go
to roll, but yeah, forget it. He's rolling. But no, you're making a good point, and I think that on a lot of respects, when it comes to knowing when to put in a new quarterback, knowing when you've essentially reached the peak of everything that you're going to get from your current quarterback. I think the Miami Dolphins are there when it comes to Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't think there's any question about that. They know what he is. They know what he's not. And to me, there's no greater ceiling that he's going to ascend to. Tua, on the other hand, is the face of the franchise. So when do you make that choice to hand the keys to the kingdom over to the new face of the franchise? We go back to the New England Patriots with Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady. We bring it full circle, folks. That choice was taken out of the hands of Bill Belichick. But again, if you believe a lot of the narrative that surrounded that story, that transfer of power was going to take place during the 2001 season. It wasn't whether or not they were going to continue to ride Drew for the rest of the year. A lot of people connected to that organization have said that Bill Belichick's plan all along was to transition into Tom Brady. There was something he saw in this kid. Obviously, what he saw in this kid is exactly what everyone
I think he was right.
And he was. He was absolutely correct, and it was the correct decision without any question. But that decision was a sort of taken out of Bill Belichick's hands. His hand was forced when Drew Bledsoe went down to injury. Now, I'm not saying that, if you're a Miami Dolphins fan, that that's the ticket to seeing Tua. You never, ever want to see anybody have to go through an injury. But when does Brian Flores look at this team and say, this team is now ready to play under Tua Tagovailoa? I think in a lot of ways, Bill was waiting to see if this Patriots team was going to be capable of playing alongside of Tom Brady. Ultimately, it just happened to, work out where Bill needed to, make that choice, and he had no choice other than to make that choice. But with Brian, he does have it. So we'll see. I think it begins tonight. I think if you see Miami start to really struggle out there and they just don't look like they're making any type of stride, then you may even see that hand forced quicker. Then you're going to start to hear smatterings of people saying, Miami needs something. They need a shot in the arm. They need a little bit of life injected. They need to go to Tua. I think you'll start to hear that chatter. But ultimately, Brian Flores is going to make the decision that's best for the football team. He's cut from the same cloth as Bill Belichick. He's not going to cave into public opinion. He's going to go with it when he feels ready.
So what do you got for a score here? I didn't tally up last week's. I will do that for tomorrow's show. We will factor in this one so we can kind of see where we stand before we give our picks tomorrow. But what's your score for this game? What do you got?
My score for this game, I think, is going to be relatively low. Not very low scoring, but relatively low scoring. I have Miami winning by a field goal on this one. I have them 24-21 over the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Ah, and I have the Jaguars. I like saying that for some reason. The Jaguars winning 24-21. So we differ right off the bat. That's good. So I like that. I like disagreement like that. So.
No, it's true, and it'll make for an interesting show tomorrow, and I think that's always a good thing. Variety is the spice of life. Yeah. Ian and I may share half of the same brain, but we don't always those halves don't always agree. So it always makes for better radio when we got I don't want to say animosity; it's the wrong choice of word, but a little difference of opinion, I guess, is the best way to.
No, we can make an animosity. We can get really vicious with this, Sid Vicious, if you will.
Sid Vicious.
Russell Wilson is currently the betting favorite for MVP right now. No surprise. But I must say though, I heard this yesterday, and I don't often. I don't get a chance to, or at least listen or watch a lot of the morning sports shows. Obviously we do this show, so it's kind of hard to do both, and for the most part, a lot of the morning shows are the debate shows, and I couldn't care less about what goes on there. I kind of already know the script. It's the same thing every single day. But I was watching or listening to Get Up yesterday, and I heard something that brought a smile to my face, because it was essentially the same exact thing I've been saying. And it came out of the mouth of Dominic Foxworth, and he said, I don't believe that, I don't, or he, okay, now I'm paraphrasing, but essentially he said he doesn't believe, like me, that, Patrick Mahomes is so far and above the best quarterback in the league or better than his peers. Like that's kind of like been my point. And I heard that, and I just remembered that, and it brought a smile to my face, Mike, because I think this is going to start picking up a little bit more steam as we go on. We'll find out, because we're going to get promoed to exhaustion this weekend for Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. on Monday night. So, you know, get ready for it. I mean, you're going to see it. You're going to hear about it. People are going to talk about it. I've already seen people call this potentially the matchup of the century, Mike. The century. And I know we're just talking about 2000 and beyond, but still. Okay. We only got.
Is it bigger than Hulk Andre?
Well, no. Nothing's bigger than Hulk Andre. that was no. But yeah, I kid because I don't want to get on a tangent because again we do have to cut the show a little short today. But yeah, I do enjoy it because again I do think I'm right. I do think more people are starting to kind of see, you know, and this happens. Look. This happens. He's won a championship. His allure's probably, you know, getting close to peaking. You know what I'm saying? Because if you keep winning, you know, you don't keep peaking like this. You know what I mean? People love Drew Brees because he doesn't win that much. Let's be honest, right? Right?
Yeah, I think there is something to be said about the underdog factor. I think the argument can be made for Rodgers as well. I mean, having won Super Bowl, I mean, he has won a Super Bowl. There's no question about it. He's been very successful, closest, one of the more prolific.
His closest comparison is Tom Brady. So all these guys, you know, even if I mean, Peyton Manning won two and went to four, but he was far more beloved than Tom Brady. Normally, if he was the standard of success, people would hate Peyton Manning, you know? So it's how it works.
It is how it works, and there is no question about it. It's I think a lot of it is that underdog mentality. A lot of it is how they're marketed. A lot of it is how the media portrays these guys in a lot of ways. I'm trying to be careful with my word to say that, you know, some players are media darlings, some players aren't. You know, I mean, it depends on what you're seeing. I think there's a lot more gravitation toward a guy like Mahomes, maybe, than a guy like Lamar Jackson. I don't know. I know if, Manning was always more beloved than Brady. There is no question about it. I think Breeze has enjoyed a little bit more media good feeling than even a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who's been very well covered in the media. He's been very well, hyped up. Without any question, but I always think Breeze had more of a beloved factor, maybe because of the way they're portrayed. So in a lot of ways, I think the media creates a lot of it as well.
No, for sure. Absolutely. And, look, this, you know, it's not Patrick Mahomes getting up there on TV debating with someone else about, oh, no, I'm clearly the best. I'm so much better than this. That, you know, it's never about the players doing this stuff. Maybe LeBron.
No, it isn't.
LeBron would do that. Like, Sap. Yeah. Sorry, Sap. I know you might be listening. But LeBron would absolutely do that. He would get up there and have a debate show about him being the greatest basketball player of all. I mean, he's essentially done this on multiple occasions. He's gone up and spoken about this. So aside from LeBron James, I these guys aren't up there debating this, so it is media driven, it's fan driven.
And for the most part, the players that we have mentioned are very humble when they're asked about their place. Lamar Jackson, one of the more humble quarterbacks in the league. You hear him always give credit to where credit is due to everyone else but himself. For all intents and purposes, Patrick Mahomes as well. He'll be the first to get up there and say his teammates around him are the big reason for his success, showing a lot of class. Even Breeze and then for that matter, and Brady. I mean, these guys, even Manning in his day, you know, you get guys that just, they understand their place in the game.
Unless he was talking about Mike Vanderjack.
That's one time I really did agree with him. When he called Mike Vanderjack an idiot kicker. I mean, come on.
Oh,
that was great.
God.
That really was. I remember watching that and saying, you know, I really, as a Patriots fan, you hated Peyton Manning, but you respected the hell out of him. That was one moment where I said, all right, I'm taking my Peyton Manning hate down for the day. I love that. That was great, and that was spot on. There are some moments where, you know, players do, you know, kind of let things slip like that. But for the most part, it's it is a humble group that we mentioned.
Oh, so. Of course. I was, like I said, I'm happy though that at least this idea is out there floating. I'm not the only one. Maybe I was at first, but you know, maybe people are starting to kind of take notice and realize. Because look. If Mahomes goes out and plays like he did in last week, and yeah, again, I understand they won the game and he made a really good throw at the end. It led to the victory. But you can't hope and pray against the Ravens like that. You know, you can't play 3.5 quarters of bad football or poor football. I don't want to say bad. That may be a little too harsh. Poor football or certainly not football becoming of the greatest quarterback in the league right now. I mean, I say that very with a lot of sarcasm. You can't do that against the Ravens. And if he does, and all of a sudden Lamar Jackson plays like he has been since, you know, all but the playoff game since last season, I think it's going to pick up a lot of steam because it's on the national spotlight. All of a sudden, I think even the most like casual fan will be, wait a minute. I've been listening to people tell me that this guy right here is this godly quarterback who's so far and above better than everyone else, but he got outplayed by Lamar Jackson, who, if you check the resume, there's only one big thing, obviously, the Super Bowl championship, that's missing from Lamar Jackson's resume to you know, stack up with Patrick Mahomes. So again, I think the conversation, and you probably know where I'm going to go with this and how I'm going to pick and how I'm going to pick with my not with my head. We're not going to pick with my head with this game, okay? not that I ever use my head for anything else, but I'm certainly going to pick with my my hopes in this one. And I think, again, if it plays out the way I think it's going to play out, and we'll get into it a little bit more tomorrow and certainly on Monday, I think a lot of this discussion is going to start coming, and it's going to start you know what? Pause. Think about what you're going to say. Reword it. Say it a lot more appropriately, because I was putting myself into a corner there, and I was going to say something that would have made for a very embarrassing soundbite. But anyways, the Ravens and this discussion developing quickly. Let's just put it this way. Let's just say this may be the catalyst for this discussion to grow and expand. So, folks, thank you for tuning into our nonsense. We really appreciate it. And if you tuned out, well, I don't blame you. You know, hey, who can listen to us every single day? Well, I know a few people. And, you know, hey, thank you. Thank you for putting yourself through that pain and torture. But we are going to cut the show a little bit short today.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, thanks, yeah. Claire.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad we're thinking about the same person here. I do want to thank everyone for listening. We will be back tomorrow for a full show. We're going to do our picks, you know, have all that fun talking all NFL, all that stuff. It's going to be a lot of good fun, as it is every Friday. So stay tuned. In about 15 minutes, Snowman in the Morning comes up live here on Full Press Radio. If you're tuning in on Sportscaster, you know, we'll be back tomorrow on video, so definitely check us out. This weekend, we got some great boot to the face content coming up on sportscaster.com/fullpresswrestling, so check that out. And, of course, download the app and go to the Full Press shop. We got some great t-shirts. I got my Newton Edelman t-shirt coming, and as soon as I have it, I'm going to wear it for an entire week straight, and you'll see it on camera. So have a great day, folks. We will talk to you tomorrow.